It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome, ladies and gents, to episode 51 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam.
Maya.
And Diane.
How's everyone doing today?
I'm good. I almost forgot because Belle isn't here. I like almost forgot to say my name.
Yeah, she had to work today. A whole day. Weird. Who works?
Sad face. No Belle. No Haley.
Anyway, so normally we don't do birthday shoutouts just because everybody has birthdays every day of the week, but there was one particular birthday I thought that was really cool. So this girl, Emmy, her birthday was just recently on the 13th, and it was her 13th birthday. So she turned 13 on the 13th in the year 2013, and I thought that was really cool.
That is so cool. Happy birthday, Emmy.
Happy birthday.
All right. Carrying along with the episode, we'll kick it off with the calendar. We have Taylor heading to the UK at the end of this month for the Brit Awards 2013. That'll be on February 20th. She's nominated for International Female Solo Artist and will be performing the closing number at the awards ceremony. On February 22nd, Taylor will appear on BBC One's The Graham Norton Show. Then on March 13th, as you all should know, Red's opening performance will be in Omaha, Nebraska. That's it for Taylor's upcoming calendar. Maya, if you could give us the news, please.
Sure thing. First up, Taylor is on the March cover of Elle magazines, and that is going to be on newsstands on February 19th, so make sure you go and grab a copy of that. Also, Taylor was seen filming a music video in Malibu, California, and it looks like a super fun, crazy video. There's like a human pyramid, and she was standing up in a shopping cart that her friends were pushing around, and it looks like it's going to be really fun. The rumor is that it's for 22. I love that song, so I'm really excited to see it. So hopefully we'll find out more about that soon.
All right, the ACM nominations are out, and Taylor was nominated for 5 awards. She's nominated for Entertainer of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, Album of the Year for Red as an artist, as well as Album of the Year for Red as a producer, and Video of the Year for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Fan voting for New Artist of the Year and Entertainer of the Year begins on March 25th at 3 p.m., Eastern Time, noon Pacific Standard Time, at voteacm.com. Let's make sure that Taylor gets Entertainer of the Year again, because she got it last year. It was really cool. You can find out if Taylor won at the ACM Awards, and they're going to be airing on Sunday, April 7th at 8 p.m. It was also announced this week that Taylor is up for 3 Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. She's nominated for Favorite Voice for an Animated Movie for The Lorax, Favorite Female Singer, and Favorite Song for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Awesome. Thanks for the news, Maya and Diane. Let's kick it off with our first mini-segment, You Know You're Swiftie When, If Swifties Ruled the World. The first one was emailed to us from Jessica, who said, you know you're a Swiftie when you start singing 22 and your 10-year-old brother joins in because he knows all the lyrics.
Our next one is from Swiftie ABC123 on Taylor Connect, and they said, if Swifties ruled the world, the sound of re-ed would echo through everyone's minds and throughout the Milky Way. That's a really creative one. I like that.
This one comes from Crispy Churro Man at Twitter, and they say, if Swifties ruled the world, Taylor would have her own news channel and her own reality show.
Her own news channel? I thought that was us. Unofficially, it's us. We'll say that. Next one is from @SwiftAgency13 on Twitter, who says, if Swifties ruled the world, sparkles would be considered a color. My friend said that the other day.
Next up is one from Swizzle Julie on Twitter, and they said, if Swifties ruled the world, everyone would get free Taylor t-shirts, and they would be the only ones they were allowed to wear.
I want a free Taylor t-shirt.
Me too.
Me too. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Taylor Swift. This one comes from AshleySwift13 on Twitter, and they say, if Swifties ruled the world, nobody would have to go to work or school on the 13th.
I wish.
That would be so nice.
All right, and the last one is another one from SwiftAgency13 on Twitter, who says, if Swifties ruled the world, babies would be humming along to Taylor songs before they could learn to talk. I feel like they could do that.
Of course they can do that.
Thanks for all those submissions, everyone. On to our main discussion. We're going to be chatting about a song today that is in high demand from listeners. In fact, we had 4 people ask us to do this on separate occasions. This song was requested by Madison, Hannah, @Andrea_Swift7 on Twitter, and @XHellYeahSwift on Twitter. All 4 of you asked us to chat about Come Back, Be Here, so that's what we're here to do today. Come Back, be here. So let's start off with what the song's about. Like, what do you guys think it's about, like, as a whole story?
Well, I really, really like this song. It's basically the first song that Taylor has written about a long-distance relationship, which, unfortunately for her, is the way that her relationship seemed to go, because, I mean, she's never in one place for, like, longer than 2 weeks, so that's just the way that it turns out for her. But it's a really pretty song, and the lyrics are pretty heartbreaking, actually. I don't know, Maya, do you have any opinions about it?
I mean, I think it's an interesting song in that it's something different from what she's done before. It's a different subject matter, but, like, I'm actually surprised it took her this long to write a song like this, because, like, all of her relationships since she became, like, famous have been long distance to some degree.
I found a quote that she said in 2009 in Glamour, and this is what she said. She said, relationships for me are always going to be long distance, even if I date the boy who lives next door to me in Nashville. I'll be flying to see him and flying him places to see me. It feels like it would always involve more scheduling, and I already deal with a lot of that in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be crazy to, like, you just to think about that. Like, she's so busy, and a lot of times, I mean, most of the people she's dated have also been celebrities, and so they're also so busy, and it's like you barely would get to see the other person.
Right, and I think that quote goes along with what you said, Mai, about why would it take her this long to write a song in this subject area when it's something that's been affecting her for so long? Unless, who knows, maybe this is an old song and she just felt that this was the appropriate album to publish it on.
Yeah, that's possible.
Well, it's not an old song, though, because she wrote it with Dan Wilson.
Well, it could have been an old idea that she had, but she just never put the words into music until now. I mean, we don't know.
I mean, I think it's possible that the feeling of it is maybe something that she's been feeling for a while, but I think the details are very recent.
So do any of the specific lyrics intrigue either of you?
Can you define intrigue? Because I think the whole song is intriguing. Like, it's a little bit hard to narrow that down.
Well, like, for me, one of the lyrics that intrigued me a little bit was when she said, I don't want to need you this way. Aside from the fact that she uses poor grammar and says wanna instead of want to.
Oh, poor Taylor. God forbid.
Since when does anyone sing, I don't want to?
That's how I would sing it. I would say, I don't want to need you this
way. And no one would buy your album, and that's why.
Hey, everyone would buy my album.
Yeah, actually, that's not why. That's just part of the reason why.
Oh, no.
Well, either way, I just thought it was an interesting line for her, because I've always seen her as such this, like, strong, powerful, independent woman, and that makes her seem, like, very dependent on another person.
I don't think dependent is the right word, but I think in this song especially, like, it's about her falling for someone new, and it's at the start of their relationship, and she's not able to see them as much as she wants, so it's kind of frustrating. It's sad because she's like, hey, I want to hang out with you, but I can't because you're in London and you're on the other side of the world from me. Like, I don't think it's that she's dependent necessarily, just like she wishes that she could spend time with this person, and because of the circumstances she's unable to.
Well, it seems like she's saying, I need you for happiness. That's how I interpret that line, at least. She's like, I'm miserable. I don't want to need you this way. I think she's saying that she doesn't want to need another person to be happy.
Not that she's miserable. It's more like, I don't know, it's like when you're in the beginning stages of a relationship and it's like starting to get intense, but you're like still not 100% sure, like, what the other person is feeling, and so, like, you almost, like, you don't want to get that attached, because just in case it goes bad, then, like, you don't want to. And also in this, it makes it even worse because they're leaving, so you're not going to see them. So it's like, it's almost this feeling, it's like, I don't want to be falling in love with this person because they're going away, and it's just going to make me more miserable, like, more miserable, but it's happening anyways, and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't know, to me, this is one of the most, this might be a personal situation of my life, but to me, this is one of the most relatable songs on the album. This is one of those ones that kind of, like, hit me hard, because I was like, whoa, I have experienced all of those things exactly like that, and it sort of freaked me out at first, but I love it.
Yeah, Maya, I think about maybe like 8 or 9 months ago, we were talking, and we were like, well, Taylor has never written a song like a long distance relationship song before, and then this song came out.
Yeah, we had a whole thing about that, and then suddenly here it was.
Yeah, so it was like Taylor was reading our minds, and she was like, oh, Maya and Diane want a song about long distance relationships. I'm gonna do that.
She saw our tweets.
Yeah, she did.
That's funny. But I think you're right, though. I think it is a very relatable song, because in this age of, like, internet and internet dating, it's quite common that people start dating without even having met the other person before. In person, that is.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. Or, like, if you think about, I think there are a lot of people who listen to our music who are, like, older, like, maybe in college. And, like, in that situation, a lot of times you'll be dating someone who goes to another school that's far away. Or there's a lot of different situations now where I think, like, if people have jobs in different cities, like, it's just it's a very relatable situation that a lot of people have to deal with.
Yeah, definitely. So did any of the lyrics intrigue you the way that one I mentioned before intrigued me?
I like the feeling you can know so much without knowing anything at all.
Actually, that was going to be my second on my personal list. So I'm glad you pointed that one out. But why?
It's just like it's an interesting emotion. Like it's something that I've thought about, but like hadn't quite known how to capture. And she managed to sort of capture it perfectly in two sentences. I guess one sentence, two lines, where it's just like that beginning thing of where you feel like you know this person and like you haven't known them for that long, so you can't really know them that well, but somehow you feel like you do. It's a weird thing, so like I can't even explain it, but like she did it perfectly with two lines in a song because she's Taylor Swift.
I think that kind of follows along with a thing that I'm a little intrigued / confused about. The first three lines when she says, you said it in a simple way, 4 a.m. the second day, how strange that I don't know you at all. So I'm wondering like, what is it that this person said? Was it, I love you? Was it, how strange that I don't know you at all? Like, is that a quote? You guys have, like, a take on the first three lines?
I mean, I think it might be a quote from the other person. I mean, probably not, like, exact, but, I mean, you can sort of imagine that. Like, if you just met this person and it sort of all moved very quickly, and then, I can imagine that situation with the other person just saying that.
I could as well. Haven't you ever been infatuated with somebody that you really don't know that well, but it's this feeling where you just met them recently, yet you're just, like, really into them. You just really want to talk to them every minute of every day. And it's like...
Yeah, it's like, it's weird. Like, I don't know essential things about you, and it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, well, to me, when I hear people say that, it almost sounds like I'm not in love with that person. I'm in love with the idea of what I think that person might be and what my future with that person might look like. So, I mean, it's kind of like you're assuming a lot of things because you don't know, so you have space to make up stuff about them because you don't like know who they are completely as a person.
I mean, I think it's a phase you have to go through though with any relationship where like in the beginning you can't start off knowing everything about someone. So like there's right at the beginning you just sort of feel like, whoa, I really like this person a lot. You feel like you know what they're like even if you don't know, I don't know, like what their hometown is or something. But, like it's sort of, I think it's just like an interesting way of looking at that beginning phase of a relationship where you're sort of like confused and infatuated and you don't know what's going on and it's just crazy. And then on top of it, in this case, the other person is going away too and you have to try to deal with that also.
I think that whole concept comes back to basically modern communication. Like I was mentioning earlier, the internet, we have text messaging, we can communicate to anyone in the world at any time of the day. And it can almost create an illusion like you really know someone. And you may not, just pointing out this personal situation, Maya, you and I have never met in person.
That's true. I've never met Diane either.
Yeah, so Diane and I have never met you in person. You haven't met either of us, yet we've known each other for over a year. And I mean, I consider you a close friend.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's strange how like that can happen now because of the internet.
How sad we have to meet Maya. Like ASAP and Haley, because we've also never met Haley.
That's true. So Maya, when are you flying out to the West Coast?
When are we gonna hang out?
When I have a few $100 lying around that I don't need, I will definitely come and see you.
Okay, so that's like tomorrow, right?
Yeah, totally. Tomorrow. I will be there. Get ready.
All right, see you then. So, interesting question now. Do we think this is about someone, or is it a fictional hypothetical character?
I think it is about someone. I don't know. It's very, like, detailed and specific.
I think it's about someone, too, but my thinking in that is based on, like, one fact.
Which is what?
Okay, well, when Taylor was dating Jake Gyllenhaal, he was doing a lot of promotion for his movie, what was that, Love and Other Drugs?
Yeah, and he was, like, all over the place.
Yeah, and he was in London for part of that. So, I mean, that's, I think, like, oh, okay, well, maybe she wrote this song when he was in London doing that.
And like he was in London and she was in New York doing promotion, or it's like, yeah, because I think it was like a time when both of them were sort of running around a lot because they started dating right when Speak Now came out.
Yeah.
So it was both like, it was like super busy time.
I think you're right though, Diane, that New York and London, the two locations mentioned in the song, are the biggest hints. Because if I remember correctly, they did spend a lot of time together in New York, did they not?
Yeah, they did.
That's where they did.
Not that it's specifically about New York, but there's like taxi cabs and busy streets. I mean, it just sounds like New York. It doesn't have to be, obviously.
Well, it says New York in the song.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So considering like the time frame of it and the fact that both of them were in London and in New York while that was happening, I think it sort of makes sense that it could be about him. I mean, I think, again, like we mentioned before, it could also have some echoes of, like, things that she felt in the past in other relationships dealing with long distance in general.
You know, a lot of people question long distance relationships and their success. Do you think there's a specific reason? Do you think this relationship failed because it was long distance or because of another reason?
I mean, I'm sure the distance has something to do with it, because, I mean, that's always difficult when you're not seeing someone, you're sort of just having to rely on, like, text messages, and you're, like, overanalyzing everything they say, and it's, like, this whole thing. But, I mean, I don't know, I think there's things in the song, like, I mean, we were talking before about the first lines, 4 a.m. the second day, how strange that I don't know you at all, and the feeling you can know so much without knowing anything at all. Like, there's a sense that neither of them know each other very well, and suddenly you get to the bridge, and it's, this is falling in love in the cruelest way. So I feel like there's this feeling that they just like jumped into it very quickly and went 0 to 100 in 3 seconds. And that works for like a short, like passionate thing, but it's not the best probably for like something that you want to last for a long time because you really don't know anything about that person. And I think that comes back to bite you in the butt.
I think you're right. I'm also glad you brought up that line, this is falling in love in the cruelest way, because most of Taylor's songs glorify love. This is actually putting the concept of love down for once. It's saying that in this particular situation, love is not a good thing.
I wouldn't say that it's not a good thing. It's just painful. Like, she's just showing us how you can be in love with someone and have it, like, pain you every day and be, like, almost like a drain. You know, because you have to deal with not seeing them all the time, or it's not seeing them at all.
But it's being in love in the wrong situation is what I mean.
Yeah, like it's almost, it's like it sounds like she's saying like she doesn't want to be falling in love with this person because she knows that it's just going to be painful. I mean, not like that, at least this part of it is going to be painful.
So then do we think through this song, Taylor is telling us not to have long distance relationships, or she's telling us that they suck or both?
I don't think she's telling us not to have a long-distance relationship, because if the love is there, the love is there. However, she is saying that it's going to be rough, and sometimes it's not going to work.
Also, I don't know, I don't think she wrote this song for us. I think she wrote it for her, because she was in pain. So she wrote a sad song about falling in love with someone who's getting on a flight to wherever. It's sort of a cautionary tale, I guess. It could be for people considering a long-distance relationship. You sort of get a picture of what it can be like. They're, like, missing someone so much and having to, you know, like, it's like there's one person in the whole world that you want to be with you and they're somewhere far away, and that's not fun ever.
Well, that may not be her primary reason to warn us. However, I do remember Taylor being quoted as saying several years ago something to the effect of not writing things her fans can't relate to. So she is writing it with fans in mind.
I think she put it on the album with fans in mind.
Yeah.
She wrote it for her, and then it turned out it's like, oh, like, this is a good one. People would relate to this. And so
right.
I think that's sort of how it ends up
right.
on the album.
All right, so that pretty much wraps it up for our discussion on Comeback Be Here. Maya, what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, scale of 1 to 13?
Thumbs up for sure. This is one of my favorites, definitely. I think it's really beautiful, and I mean, I love the combination of her and Dan Wilson, and I think they did such a good job, and it's relatable, and I love it.
I would give it 13 out of 13 for sure. 2 thumbs up. I think it's really pretty, just like what Maya said. It's definitely one of my favorites.
I really like it a lot. It intrigues me. I think it's really well written. A scale of 1 to 13, that's a tough question for me, because my favorite songs are always ones I can rock out to in the car, and you can't really, this isn't a rock out song. But it's really well done. I like it a lot. But you can't really rock out in the car to it. So I'll go like an 11 to 12, maybe.
That's high for you, for a slow song.
Yeah, no, I like rock out songs. But actually, before we move on, something we forgot to discuss. Will it be on the Red Tour or won't it be?
I mean, if it's anything like how Beak Now Tour was, then she might play it like one time.
Hopefully she plays it at the concert that I'm
My
at.
My feeling is that it probably won't be, just because it's on the deluxe edition. It's not actually on the album. And it's not like a single or anything. But we'll see. I hope she plays it.
I'd like to see it on tour.
I'd definitely like to see it. My sense is that she probably won't do it because it's not one of the main songs.
See, I don't know though, because how long is the set list, or how long was it for Speak Now?
It was a 2-hour show.
Right, a lot of songs. Now, Red, including deluxe songs, is what?
16? How many songs long? No, more than that. There was 16 on regular Red, plus...
Isn't it 22? Isn't that the whole thing? Or somehow there's 22... in some way. It's more songs than Speak Now was, I'm pretty sure. But like when she was doing the whole acoustic covers thing, like on the Speak Now tour, there were a couple nights, like one night she played Superman and one night she played If This Was a Movie. So like there were times when like people requested that and then she played that night instead of like doing an acoustic cover. So it could be that she'll do something like that again.
Maybe. I would have loved to see Superman. Oh man, she should have included that as a regular song. All right. Now that wraps it up for our Comeback Be Here discussion, and we move on to another round of Wheel of Taylor. Yay!
Woo!
Sorry, I like this. So, today's Wheel of Taylor contestants are Diane versus Maya. Who wants the first question?
I'll take it.
All right. First question, and mind you, they're both going to be pretty easy today, but
yes,
fun nonetheless. Diane, how many Grammys has Taylor won as of this last award show?
I counted them on the last episode, didn't I? Oh, I should know this. What are you talking about? Easy question. I'm going to go with 10.
No!
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 What's the right answer?
She has 7 Grammys now.
Oh, that was going to be my next guess.
That's right, isn't it, Maya?
It is.
Oh, good. I'm asking my contestant to verify my information. All right, next question to Maya.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of farm did Taylor grow up on?
A Christmas tree farm.
That's like so much easier than my question.
How is that easier than your question? Grammys were all over the news. Every news article, this makes Taylor's 7th Grammy.
Were you on Twitter on Grammy Day? Like every tweet was, Taylor has 7 Grammys.
I'm just a sore loser, sorry.
Oh, jeez, Diane.
I'll try harder next time.
Study up on your Taylor trivia.
Next time, I think Adam should be in the contestant seat.
I'm the host.
Well, you need to turn too.
Nah.
We'll take a vote.
Yeah, I think you're just afraid you might get the questions wrong.
Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
I would beat whoever I was against.
All right. Well, we'll see about that.
Okay. So what are Swifties listening to? We got a submission from Jessica, who emailed us and suggested that Swiftie should be listening to a girl group from the UK called Little Mix. The songs that she likes are Wings, Change Your Life, and Turn Your Face. All of their songs are fantastic, but these are my personal favorites. We listened to this band before, and they're catchy.
Yeah, they won the X Factor in the UK, I think it was 2011 or 12. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Oh, that was recently.
Really recently. They just won. And... yeah, they have, like, really catchy sort of, like, R&B, pop, all over the place kind of songs. Yeah, they're really cool. You can, like, look them up on YouTube. They have a bunch of videos. And
the whole girl group thing takes me back to the Spice Girls days, and I miss those.
Well, there you go, Adam.
Yeah, see, this is another girl group from the UK, so.
Yeah, but they don't sound like the Spice Girls at all.
No.
They're totally different.
They're different, but
style.
They're, like, interesting, though. I think they're all really good singers.
They almost remind me of S Club 7 without the guys. Do you guys remember S Club 7? Diane, you're probably too young.
Maya and I are the same age, okay?
Yeah.
But Maya remembers S Club 7 and you don't.
I vaguely remember the name. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have no idea what you're talking about. So don't gang up on me.
There's the next poll. The next non-existent poll on TaylorTalk.org. Have you heard of S Club 7? Yes,
if you would like to experience some really cheesy late 90s pop music, S Club 7.
Hey, their TV show was great, though.
Look them up on YouTube. They're hilarious. Yeah, so go listen to Little Mix. They're really fun and catchy.
Yeah, do what Maya said. Everybody listen to Maya.
Yeah.
And that concludes episode 51 for this week. We hope you all enjoyed our discussion of Comeback Be Here. Join us next week for a whole new set of mini segments, whole new discussion, all that fun stuff. If you want to submit to the mini segments, of course, you can do so by emailing us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. Tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us, all TaylorTalk13. Or leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. Make sure to leave your name so we know who you are.
That is important.
Awesome. It's highly important in both a voicemail or a text message. Leave us your name so we can credit you. And then one last thing I've never actually asked, and I would like to. If you guys really enjoy the show, if you really, really love us, because we love you.
We do.
I'd like to ask that you guys just take a minute out of your day to jump on iTunes and give us a nice 5-star rating. Now, the reason I ask this is because if you do, in fact, enjoy the show, it really helps us out because iTunes system will see those ratings and recommend us to other Swifties. So that can be your way of sharing us with other Swifties in the community. So if you like us, support us, please consider going on iTunes and doing that for us. That'd be great. Leave a comment if you want. I'd appreciate it and love you forever.
I will also love you forever.
And so for episode 51 of Taylor Talk, this has been Adam,
Maya,
and Diane.
Saying we'll see you all next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Virtual hand hearts.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.